Who let the dogs out?
Good Christmas Eve morning, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer. Hopefully you've been tuning in every Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30 to learn everything you ever wanted to know about dogs. I know that many of you decided to give a puppy to a special someone in your life as a Christmas or Hanukkah gift. If you're listening to us now, you'll be happy to know that the subject of today's discussion is puppies. I'm so pleased to have as my guest this morning, Susan Belanda. Susan is a specialist in canine and feline behavior. She began her career as a dog trainer in 1961, and she's trained dogs for many activities, including obedience, confirmation, sled dog racing, hunting, search and rescue, and drug detection. She always gives us a wealth of information when she visits us here in the doghouse. Before we talk to Sue, though, please give me just a moment to tell you about the services that I offer here in the South Jersey area.
Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338. Or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338. Or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com.
Good morning, Sue. Merry Christmas. How are you doing?
Good, good.
You weathering the snow okay up there?
Well, we don't have too much left on the ground, and it'll all be gone by the weekend.
Well, I hope it is, because not too many dogs are getting walked this week, my own included. Sue, I'm always glad when you join us here on Thursday mornings. Our topic for today is puppies, and I have tons of questions for you and very little time. So not to put any pressure on you, but I want to get started, okay?
Good enough.
All right. Most people who get puppies are very surprised and upset when their pups do the play biting thing. Is it normal for puppies to bite so much and so hard?
Absolutely. First of all, the bite so much, we'll talk about that, and then the so hard part. Puppies are like human babies. Everything goes in their mouth. And you have to remember that dogs do not have hands, so they use their mouths to manipulate things, to feel things, to explore things, to learn, and handle things. So, you know, yes, dogs use their paws, but they don't have the dexterity even that cats do. So their mouths are their main way of handling their life, okay? So yes, a puppy is going to put everything in its mouth, just like a baby.
Okay. So they bite, though. Is the biting because they are aggressive, or are they teething? What's the deal with the biting?
Well, teething doesn't occur until about 4 months of age, okay? The thing about the biting and the chewing is you have to remember that's how puppies play. That's how they grew up. Until we get them, their life was made of their litter and their mother, and that's what they do all the time. And they have to learn that they're not supposed to do it to people because people don't play that way.
Okay.
So it's a learning process. Now, the hard part is another issue. The main reason why puppies will bite hard, there's two reasons. Number one, they have been taken away from their litter and their mother too soon. See, puppies learn how to practice bite inhibition through their litter mates and playing with their mother, because they'll bite too hard then they'll get a yipe or they'll get a corrective snip from the mother, and they learn that that's too hard. And nobody can teach it better than their litter mates and their mother, but especially puppies that are bought from pet shops or commercial breeders, they want to get those puppies out quickly because they don't want to pay the expense of keeping them. And usually they'll take them away from the litter at 5 or 6 weeks, 7 weeks, and they don't learn. These are the time periods where they learn their bite inhibition.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens then is you get a puppy who has not learned bite inhibition from its litter mates or its mother, and so the owner of this puppy has to teach them that.
Okay.
Now, the other thing is certain breeds of dogs are more mouthy than others, and that's just the way that they are.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about it like this. A hunting breed, let's say a sporting breed, is bred to have what's called a soft mouth, while a breed that's bred to be a protector or a pure varmint, like terriers, tend to have harder mouths because they're bred to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it has to do with taking the puppy from the litter too soon, what it's genetically programmed to be like, and how you handle it at home.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of factors involved with that. But all puppies, no matter what breed they are, will learn bite inhibition from their mothers and their litters. And that's why it's really ideal to leave a puppy with the litter up until 12 weeks of age.
Up until 12 weeks. But
yes.
And I agree with you. But as a dog trainer, this is the situation that I see out there. Especially with the little dogs. The little dogs are very commonly left with the breeder and the rest of their litter up until 12 weeks. But if that breeder isn't responsible, where it is socializing the puppy, so then the puppy gets into the home and has not socialized at all up until 12 weeks. So we may have a puppy with a softer mouth, but now we have a puppy that's afraid of everything. So you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. So that's just a little bit of feedback from me, from what
right,
I see
right.
out there.
The afraid of everything part is not for every puppy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Some puppies, you have to remember that every dog is different. Every puppy has its own personality, its own genetic makeup. Even they're different within the same litter.
Mm-hmm.
And some dogs seem to weather that lack of socialization very well.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem to be a problem to them, and other ones never seem to get over it.
Right.
So it's important that you go to a good, reputable breeder if you're going to buy a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, an adult dog is another story. So, and since we're talking about puppies, we won't go there, and I'm not saying to people don't adopt dogs from shelters or rescue groups, but if you're going to go with a puppy, you really need to research thoroughly the quality of the breeder that you're dealing with, because the cost of the dog is the same. Often you'll pay more for a poorly bred puppy from a commercial breeder because they're in it for the money,
mm-hmm.
than you will going to a good breeder who's going to take the time to socialize, who's going to take the time to keep the puppy and do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't seem to understand that. They think if they go to a good quality breeder, it's all for show,
mm-hmm.
you know, for competition. And that's not the case. There's a very small percentage of good quality dogs are destined for the showman.
Mm-hmm.
What you're paying for is exactly what we're talking about. The quality of the health of the dog, because the parents were tested
mm-hmm.
for inherited diseases, and the quality of the life that the puppy has until you get it, and the backup that you get from the breeder after you have the puppy. That's
right.
What you pay for.
Right. Okay, that's great information. So most of the puppies that are sold during this season are for the children. And so what advice can you give parents to prevent the puppies from biting at their children's feet and their clothing and their body parts?
Well, again, biting at the feet is a common trait for certain breeds of dogs. Like if you go with the border collies, the Australian shepherds, the cattle dogs, the Shetland sheepdogs, all the herding breeds are bred to nip at people's feet. Actually, it would be the hocks of the sheep or cattle. because this is how they control them.
Mm-hmm.
So the dog's instinct is if these kids are running around and they don't group up and go where the dog's instincts say they should go, they're going to correct them the way they're bred to do. And, you know, people have to realize that before they get this cute little fuzzy puppy.
Right.
And there's nothing you're going to do to stop that because it's so programmed into the dog. You have to teach the dog how to control it, but mm-hmm. you're not going to stop the desire. And occasionally the dog will give in to that desire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a vicious thing. It's not a nasty thing. He's doing what he was bred to do.
Correct.
So if you have young children that are active, that run around, don't get one of those breeds of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Get a breed of dogs who's not bred to be like that.
Ah, so if everybody in the whole country or world was listening to you talk this morning, we would have a lot less problems out there.
Absolutely. If you think ahead, first of all, you're going to commit the next 10 or 15 years of your life with that dog.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to make sure that dog's going to fit into your lifestyle, how it develops, whatever you're planning for the next 10 or 15 years.
That's so true. So given a scenario where somebody has purchased an Australian Shepherd or a Border Collie, or, and I'll even use the breed of a Chocolate Lab, which is just about the most energetic of the labs that I've worked with,
right.
What would you suggest to people who have already gotten this breed, and they're already experiencing the hard biting and a lot of mouthiness toward the children? What sort of management suggestions can you make to these people to prevent that behavior?
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is don't punish the dog.
Thank you.
Because if you do that, the dog is going to learn not to trust you. By punishing the dog, you're assuming the dog is going to make the connection between what his genes are telling him or screaming at him to do and the activity and your dislike, and a dog is likely not to make that connection.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing to do is get with a good trainer. If you have a puppy, you want to go to puppy kindergarten classes. If you have a dog already, you get with a good trainer so that you can learn the right technique to teach the dog, now listen carefully, self-control.
Okay.
Okay? The obedience and listening to people and not doing what their instincts tell them to do is all about self-control. It is not about knowing what to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference.
Okay.
People think that if they train a dog how to sit, or to sit, well, you can't train them how to sit because they know how to sit before you get them, but if you teach them to put their butt on the ground when you say sit,
right,
they think that once the dog knows that, the dog's going to be robotic in their responses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not true, because dogs have to choose, they have to learn how to develop the ability to do what you want as opposed to what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all about. And that takes practice, and there's no shortcut for that.
Okay.
And it depends on the dog's tractability, or in other words, his biddability, his willingness to listen,
mm-hmm.
on how quickly he will be able to exercise that self-control.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you never trust even the most well-trained dog cannot be 100% trusted all the time to do what you want him to do, because there may come that circumstance that they can't resist the temptation. And mm-hmm. after all, how many of us can?
Sure.
I mean, how many of us are 100% robotic? I mean, if that were the case, we wouldn't need Overeaters Anonymous or Alcoholics Anonymous, whatever Anonymous, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't ask more of your dog than what you can do yourself.
Right. So do you have any ideas, though? Okay, so management to prevent is the best thing.
Right.
But suppose you do get a situation and somebody calls and says, my puppy is grabbing at my little girl's skirts all the time, and he's biting all the children their socks, and nobody can walk around barefooted in the house. What kind of advice do you give those people in the beginning to once the behavior has happened?
Get rid of the children. No, I'm only kidding. But not entirely kidding, because what you have to do, if the puppy is too young to exercise self-control, you've got to reduce the temptation so they can learn. So you have to teach the children how to act around the puppy so they don't encourage the puppy to do that, because children inadvertently do that. I mean, picture a young child, okay, who's a toddler or even a 3 or 4 year old who doesn't understand what it's like to be a parent. Because really, if you ask your children to manage a dog, you're asking them to act like a parent, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's why children should not be involved in training a dog, because they, it's more than what meets the eye.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you have to teach the child, well, when you're around the puppy, don't do this. Or if the puppy starts to chase you, stop.
Mm-hmm.
Don't run.
Mm-hmm.
Where children normally will squeal and wave their hands and jump around, and that only encourages the dog to do it even more.
Exactly.
Because they, don't forget, the instincts in the puppy are driving the puppy to do it. It's not like the puppy sits there and looks at the kid and says, oh boy, I'm going to get him this time, you know. It's not like that. The puppy's not being malicious or nasty or vicious or anything like that. He's
mm-hmm.
doing what his instincts tell him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to decrease that so that you could teach the puppy how to manage his feelings and to learn to understand that this is not acceptable behavior. Learning and understanding that takes time.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a certain level of maturity on the part of the puppy.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot, again, you cannot punish the dog for doing stuff like this. You have to manage the situation and start teaching the dog in a positive manner, using things like praise and reward and clicker training. And that's why you need to go to a trainer to get help with this stuff. And then the dog will, as he grows up, he will be able to exercise self-control. But again, it's going to take time. And you have to protect the child, too. You cannot have this child live in fear of going around the puppy. So by teaching the child how to behave around the puppy and not encouraging that situation, then both the puppy and the child can have a wonderful relationship.
Yeah, I agree, but I'll tell you what, it ain't easy.
No, it's not easy.
No way is it easy, especially when you hear, you know, yeah, I'm going to work with a Malamute puppy that I got called on this week, and she's got 6 children, and she notified me this morning that she thought the puppy was 8 weeks, and now she hears the puppy is 6 weeks.
Okay.
So I've got a project ahead of me here. One question that I would like people to understand the answer to is, the puppies do have such tiny teeth. Can they actually do any serious damage if they're just play biting?
Oh, yeah, they can. Well, not. It depends, again, on the breed. I mean, a little dog with little puppy teeth, they're needle sharp. I mean, they hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're supposed to hurt. That's
mm-hmm.
how they learn bite inhibition. So their little teeth can hurt, especially the tender skin of a younger person or an older person.
Mm, absolutely.
And the thing is that a big dog, a big puppy, on a small arm can put some serious punctures in a child's arm.
Right.
I mean, those little needle teeth, they break through skin very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And a little dog is going to hurt, but he's not going to do as much damage because he can't get his mouth around things as well.
Mm-hmm.
But those little teeth are designed to hurt. That's how they learn bite inhibition.
Right. You know what worries me, too, is when people get a puppy for their elderly parents, or if elderly people think it's a good idea to get a puppy for themselves, they don't realize that this biting is going to happen. And a lot of these people are on blood thinners like Coumadin.
Right, right.
And so when I go to their homes, it looks like they have been in a war.
Yep.
You know, with all the black and blue marks and the puncture wounds, and it's not a good thing.
Well, the fastest way to remedy that is give the puppy things he can chew on.
Lots of chew toys.
Lots of chew toys that are, and rotate them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with human babies. If you give them all their toys at once, they lose interest in all of them at
sure,
once.
Sure, absolutely.
But if you give them one or two toys a day and take all the rest up and rotate them, they stay interested in all the toys because it's like getting a new toy.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that with my own dogs, even though they're not puppies.
Right.
If I get a new toy, it's all excited and they love it, and I'll pick up the old ones, and then a week later I'll give them the same old toy back, and it's like, oh boy, you know.
There is a benefit to having a short-term memory loss.
Well, yeah, I wish my husband was. Anyway, the thing is that, you know, for that situation, first of all, I want to comment on one thing you said. I do not think it's ever good to buy a dog for somebody else.
Good.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It is a very personal choice. it's a bond that has to click between the person and the dog, and everybody has different reasons why they like a particular dog or cat or bird or whatever. And it's really, if you want to give somebody a gift, give them a stuffed animal and tell them that you'll pay for that gift, but they get to pick it out. It's really critical for the bonding and for the, and again, you're looking at a long-term relationship, 10, 15 years or more, and that person should have the right to pick the animal they mesh with, rather than you pick it for them. So I really, I mean, I really can't stress how important that is, especially somebody who's much older, because it might be their last pet. And I tell people, when I get elderly people that come to me and say, oh, well, we want to get a puppy. I said, well, how do you think you're going to physically be able to handle this dog in 15 years? You know?
Yeah, sure.
Some
they don't think that far ahead of it. You know, they just, unfortunately, a lot of us humans just don't think, period.
Well, that's it. And, I mean, you have an obligation. You know, an animal can die of thirst and starvation in your home, surrounded by food and water. They are totally dependent on you for their care. And if you get somebody who's elderly and they start to have memory issues, they may forget to feed the animal. They may not remember when they fed them last. I mean, you know, this happens to people, you know what I'm saying? And you have to consider that. It's a very important consideration, because that animal or a bird, let's say you get a bird, you don't give it food or water for a week or two, it'll be dead.
So there's you touched on something early on, and I just we have a little bit of time maybe to explore this. What problems could come up if a puppy is still biting once he gets his adult teeth, like around 6 or 7 months, where the people didn't know anything about doing bite inhibition, they never contacted a trainer, they never did any kind of puppy class, so they're kind of clueless about having, you know, knowing what to have been doing for this problem. So now we have a dog with its adult teeth. What advice could you give people if they are still experiencing this hard mouthing?
Well, the best thing is, again, get with a trainer. I hate to keep harping on that, but the thing about training a dog, especially at that age, is that he's already formed a habit. He's already formed a relationship with the person that allows that behavior. The dog doesn't realize there's anything wrong. And that's what you have to keep in mind, because people always think the dog's doing it for spite or to be nasty or whatever. And it's not the case. The dog thinks this is the relationship because this is what you allowed. So every dog is different, and there's no one way to say how to fix it. But I will say this. We know that dogs have the ability. They have what's called episodic memory, where they can remember the past, they can relate it to the present, and they can project it to the future. And we know that the old adage of an old dog can't learn new tricks is not true.
No, absolutely.
So the thing is, you can still train the dog, you can still work with the dog, but you have to keep in mind that now you've got, however old the dog is, 6 months, 8 months, a year, you've got that much time of a habit to break, and therefore it's going to take longer, but it's not impossible. And if you go to a trainer and you learn the right method and the right technique, which the trainer will evaluate the relationship between you and the dog and the dog's personality and explain the right method to deal with that. Of course, we don't want to use leash jerk methods, the jerk and hurt training methods, electronic collars, prong collars, or anything like that is not going to fix the problem.
Right.
It may fix it short term. You don't do any of this. You have to be the boss, and the dominant stuff is not the way it works. We know the intelligence level and the minds of animals. These methods are cruel. Mentally cruel and physically cruel.
I couldn't agree more. We only have, believe it or not, about 5 minutes left, and I want to make sure to give you some time to tell us about the program you offer at Kutztown University. I've been giving a little advertisement for the university for several weeks now, but you're like the coming from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Well, I'd love to, but I also want to mention real quick that in Pennsylvania, here where I live, they have passed new laws about puppy mills.
Yes.
And the rescues and the shelters are being flooded with dogs that are being surrendered because their puppy mills are going out of business.
You know what? I saw that on the news.
Yes. So if anybody can help, contribute, adopt, or foster, just get in touch with any Pennsylvania shelter. Okay, Kutztown. We have two programs that I designed, and one of them, level one, is for students that want to become dog trainers. Now, this is a much more comprehensive program than you would think because it does cover a lot of the basics for behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And then level two is for those students who want to continue on to learn to become a canine behavior consultant. And also we have a course for cats and birds.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to take the whole program. If you're interested in one class, you can sign up for just one class, or you can do the whole program and get a certificate for that program at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Our students have been extremely successful, and in business, and just people are thrilled. Level one is mostly taught, the core courses that relate to dogs are taught by people that are certified animal behavior consultants, and level two is almost exclusively taught by certified animal behavior consultants. So you're getting the cream of the crop of instructors. If anybody's interested, they can contact the Center for Lifelong Learning at Kutztown and get more information.
Mm-hmm. Sue, with your program at Kutztown, and I know that maybe somebody from New Jersey might not want to go up that distance to take this type of program, but for anyone that's working with and living with a problem dog and is kind of interested in learning more about what's motivating that behavior, would your program be good for the average dog owner who is quite interested in what's going on with its own dog?
Well, sure. I mean, every course is jam-packed with scientific research to back up the theories and the theories of learning and how to actually, level two, we get into how to solve specific behavior problems, and level one, we deal with training problems.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worth, it's not that far. Kutztown is not, inaccessible to New Jersey, but
right.
It's a wonderful program, and the beauty of it is all the classes are on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
What we've done is we've decided instead of having a couple hours a night during the week, we have the whole course in one full day on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's facilities nearby if somebody wants to come up and stay overnight. And the program is very reasonable for what you're getting.
Thank you so much, Sue. I just love it when you come. You not only educate my listeners, but you educate me, too. You always offer something new for me to make a note about, and I do appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
And I hope you have a wonderful holiday, and I know we're going to set a date real soon for you to come back. And give your husband my regards, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
All right. We're going to take a little commercial break, and when we return, I'll talk to you again. Hold on.
The exercise and socialization. Dog Days Camp for Canines provides a great solution to keeping your dog well-exercised and happy. We are a doggy daycare located at 23 West Main Street in historic downtown Marlton, New Jersey. At Dog Days, dogs play inside and away from the elements. We've been open since September 2003, providing a clean, friendly, and supervised atmosphere. Our services also include bathing, nail trimming, as well as group obedience classes. If you don't want to leave your dog alone for the entire day, if you have a lot of errands to run, or if you just need a break, bring your dog to our well-run and popular doggy daycare. Contact us at 856-985-7086 or at the web at www.dogdaysinc.net. That's 856-985-7086 or on the web at www.dogdaysinc.net.
I hope you've enjoyed today's program here at Thursday in the Doghouse, and I want to let you know I'll be back again next week on New Year's Eve talking to you again about dogs And I hope that you have benefited by getting the education that we're trying very hard to put out here on this program. So get your dogs out today, even though it's snowy out there. Just let them romp in the snow and get himself a little bit tired. I know it's hard for walking. And I'll talk to you next week. Have a great holiday, everybody.
Who let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out?